The Ramban on Parshas told us is incredibly rich. There's so much going on here, from beginning to end. He has a lot to say. I'll just mention a few that you may want to see over the course of the next couple of days. Perek Chavav Pasuk Chaf. He talks about the Be'eros and explains how the Be'eros, which seem like such a small detail, actually encapsulate all of Jewish history. Later on in Pasuk Chav Zayin, in the story of Yaakov seizing the bracha, Sukim Yubeis, Tezvav, Chaf Aleph, very, very fascinating approach to understanding what's going on. Earlier, Begin Perek Chav Vav, very intriguing comment that he makes about how Yitzchak was seeking to copy what Avraham Avinu had done. Even earlier than that, Perek Chafei, Pasuk Lamed Daled, Yivez Esav Az HaBechor. The Ramban has a very fascinating conversation with Ibn Ezra about wealth and materialism. A very brief Ramban, who it seems to perhaps is a Lashitaso, earlier, even earlier, Perek Chafei, Pasuk Chavbeis, Batelech Ledroshas Hashem. As Machlokas with Rashi, what does it mean to be Doresh Hashem? Does that mean to seek a prediction, to seek Nevuah? Does it mean to daven? It could be the Ramban's L'shitaso, the first Ramban in Parakav Zayin, when he discusses why didn't Rivka just take the Derech HaMelech? Why didn't she just communicate directly with Yitzchak? Which is a good question. So he has multiple explanations of why she sought to not communicate with her husband. And maybe Lishitasam corresponds to the two understandings of what did she originally do? Did she originally seek Nevuah, or she originally davened that the Nevuah came to her? A tremendous amount going on. A tremendous amount to be learned from within the story itself. From within the story of the key figures in Parshas told us. The one Parsha that really focuses on Yitzhak. Yitzhak and Rivka, Yaakov and Esav. But within this, you'll have the next couple of days to explore those Rambans. I want to take a look now at a comment of the Ramban, perhaps one of the most famous paragraphs in all of Ramban, Torah. It would probably be malpractice for us to get together and Parshas told us to learn Ramban and to not learn Perek Chavav Pasuk Hey, which the Ramban, ironically, even in the midst of told us, which is the Parsha of Yitzhak Avinu, this is a comment on a pasuk about Avram Avinu. Even in Toldos, we're still here about Avram Avinu. As I mentioned a moment ago, the Yitzhak is seeking to emulate his father and copy his father's practice. And he's going to go down to Mitzrayim because of Rav, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu explains to him, that's not what I want of you. Ramban seems to say it's almost like a Lech Lecha moment. Ramban understands Yitzhak, I want you to travel, I'll tell you when to stop. He has his own Lech Lecha moment. But he tells him, he confirms in the beginning of Perek Chavav, the very end of the first Aliyah. He confirms that you're staying here, and don't worry. You're staying here and don't worry. Right now you're just a couple. You're a couple without children, you're a couple without food, you're a couple without money. It's one of the issues Ramban raises in his debate with Ibn Ezra. Ibn Ezra suggests that Yitzchak got a lot of money from his father, but Yitzchak may have at different points in his life been poor. He may have repeatedly become impoverished. He says, don't worry, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, don't worry. I've got your back. You're just a couple without children. Right now you're a couple without food, there's famine. You're a couple without money. I'm going to give you Eretz Yisrael, but yours, you're going to have a tremendous nation will come from you. And the nation of Klal Yisrael will have positive impact on the entire world. And all of this, Lama, Avram Avinu, listen to my voice. And he was shown there, my mishmeres, my mitzvahs, my chukim, my mishpat, my torahs. So the first half of that pasuk sounds a little more open-ended.
Shomea Bekoli. And Ravi, listen to my voice. But then you have a whole series of terms that are very, very not veracious style. They're very halachic. Mishmeres, chukim, toros, mitzvos. That's the terminology you hear later in Chumash when they talk about halacha. Well, what does this mean for Avraham Avinu? So Rashi, but take a look at Ramban. So he says Rashi was troubled by this. Question number one, just what all these things mean. There's so much repetition. Koli, Mishmarti, Mitzvosai, Chukosai, and Torosai. There's so many terms, five different terms. What do they all mean? And then also, we begin to notice that they seem very halachic. The Koli, Kishinisisiosa. The very beginning, the Rabban is quotes Rashi. He listened to my voice by the Nisyonos. So those are the Esther Nisyonos of Avraham Avinu. But then the other four terms, Mishmarti is Bezeros Laharchaka. Not Mishmarti, we're in right now. And you get Din Drabanan, like Shneos Laharayas and Shavus Lashavas. The Shavus is a term that refers to all the Din Drabanan of Shavas. Shneos, the second degree relatives, are those relatives for whom, who are not an Erev Daraisa, but are forbidden to marry Midrabanan. So Mishmarti refers to Din Drabanan, Siyagim. Mitzvosai, mitzvah she'ilo nichtuvu, dinu she'ikasvu. Those mitzvahs which they had they not been written, it would have made sense that they ought to be written. In other words, so the mitzvahs are the logical mitzvahs. The mitzvahs, shemios. Gezel, shvichas damim. It's natural and logical to us that you ought to avoid death. You ought to avoid murder. Chukosai, those are the chukim. Those are the sort of mitzvahs Mitzahara pushes back on. The non-Jewish culture that surrounds us pushes back on. Keeping kashrus, avoiding shatnas, ain't dan b'daber, elav melech gozer chukol lavada. So these are what we usually refer to as chukim and mishpatim. So he says the mitzvahs are the mishpatim, the mitzvahs where there's a clear svara, and the chukim are the chukim. We don't know why. It's not clear why we have to avoid kashrus. We have to avoid the treifa food. It's not clear why we have to avoid chanas. But the hope. And finally, so torosai. So we had four different terms here, five different terms. So kol meant the specific historical nisyonos of Avraham Avinu. Mishmeres, later in Chumash, and here also Rashi says, refers to gzeiros. And the mitzvahs and chukim are what we usually call mishpatim and chukim. So now we seem to be covered. So, but there's one more term, torosai. So that includes the dinim which are not based on the psukim. So the Rashi is saying mitzvos and chukim; those are the dinim and the psukim. Torah shebichsav and Torah says Torah shebapel. That's Rashi's solution to the incredible amount of repetition in the psukim.
Why five different terms? Yeah, because if you could divide all of what Avram did to merit Eretz Yisrael, it's a five different category. His personal nisyonos, dinim drabanan, dinim daraisa psukim lechumish, which are mishpatim, dinim daraisa psukim lechumish, which are chukim, and finally, Torah Shabbat. He says, okay. And the Ramban comments, in four lines to the bottom of page, of the fifth page, in Ken, he calls it a bonin al dasha, aya avra mekayim, and mishamar sa Torah, ad shalom nim. Is obviously built on the assumption that Avinu is actually keeping all the dinim. Talking about shatnas and kashrus, so on and so forth. He was keeping all the chukim, all the mishpatim, all the daraisas, all the rabbanan. He's keeping everything. So Rashi is assuming that. Isn't it vicious? A mission in Kiddushin, not Pei Beis Naman Aleph, a discussion of that. A mission of Raisa, yeah? Kiddushin Pei Beis Naman Aleph. It also appears in Yuma Chav Ches Amud Beis, I believe. And Avinu Kiyim Kol Targula Ad Shalom Nim. Yeah. Shomer Avram is called Torah.
Well, he gave them Alach and Basr B'chal.
Gave them Alach and Basr B'chal. They were Jewish. You could also give them Alach and Basr B'chal. I mean, say it's Israel enough. Say Israel enough. He didn't give them cooked together. He didn't give them cooked together. Yeah, that question?
I thought the others only took upon themselves that this was Asay.
Fantastic. So this is, Ramban is about to launch into the classic discussion of what exactly were the Avos doing. Halachic prehistory. On the one hand,
that reminds us. Kiddushin pei beis, yuma chavches, shomer Avram is called Torah, arshal nitna. And he says, and the Rabban says, and there are other indications of this as well. Number one, you have this pasuk. How are you going to make sense of all the halachic terminology in this pasuk? Bechal, just so many different terms, each one has to mean something, and it's missing so many halachic terms. And the Maamar Chazal in Kiddushin and in Yumam. And here are three lines at the bottom. The Kach Amru, and so they say, they refer into Chazal. Footnote 98 tells you this is a Bereishis Rabbah. Bereishis Rabbah is a very ancient Medrash. It dates back to the Tanam, the early Amruah. The Kach Amru, Pasuk Vayit, came land Yosef Agalos. Later Chumash Bereishis. Yosef gives him Agalos, a famous comment. The Bereishis Rabbah is famous, that's what Rashi quotes it. Why do you give them wagons? And specifically the type of wagon is called an Agala. Shapirish Mimenu, the parsha's Egla Arupa, it's a wordplay. It was a visual pun. Egla is a calf, Agala is a cart, some sort of wagon, but they are spelled the same way, they sound similar. So Yosef wanted to send his father, apparently he had a subtle sense of humor, he wanted to send his father a visual pun to remind him, I haven't forgotten the sugi that we were handling with 22 years ago, the sugi of Egla Arupa, so he sent him Agalos. The presumption, the premise of that medrash is that they were learning Eglon Ruf. They were learning Eglon Ruf. And actually, learned in the Torah. This is before Matan Torah. This is centuries before the Torah. So the gracious rabbi seems to put it all together. And not only that, but turn the page. Shom Amru, Shoyim Meshamer, Afilu Dikduke Tarim Lama Labana. That raises Rabbis from their mamas. They were learning all the details of halacha. All the details of halacha, and they were teaching to the next generation. The Rabban opens the first salvo, the first paragraph. He hasn't written the paragraph, see if it were. The first paragraph is many, many sources that seem to assume, and he only quoted some of them, that the Abbas were keeping called Garbula. In addition to Yuma, ironically, Kiddushin Bebeis Yuma Chavches, he didn't quote, but he mentions the gracious Rabbah by Yosef and the Agalos. And obviously our pasuk, this pasuk in Parshas told us, and Rashi's comment that all these different categories refer specifically to different parts of Allah. So, that's how he starts. But then he says, what was the question? Yeshul Shal. You can ask, but how about learn the rest of Chumash Bereishis? It's true there are individual comments of Chazal. Here you have a pasuk in Toldos that sounds like Avraham is keeping Kol Targul. And indeed that's how Chazal interpreted the Bavli. And you have a gracious Rabbah later by the in Parshas Miket, by the Agalos. Excuse me, in Parshas Vayigash, by the Agalos. Okay, that's nice. But on the other hand, Eich Heiken Yaakov Matzeva. Yaakov Avinu builds a Matzeva. The Chumash tells us later that it's an Isser Gamar for a Jew to make a single stone Mizbeach is a multi-stone altar, and a Matzeva is a single stone altar. I think the technical term in Israel is steel. That's S-T-E-L-E. So often the non-Jews built these enormous pillars of stone that had religious significance, had political significance. A Jew is not allowed to be Makar or Karban a Matzeva. Yaakov Avinu, like that next week's part, Parsha Yetzer. He leaves, and he has the Matzeva 7. That's a Lav Daraisa. Number two, Nasar Shteyachayos. He married two sisters. He married Rachel and Leah. That is an Ister Chavar Gila Reis Yahar Mayavar. His man Azeh, if a Jew has been ready to give his life rather than be married to two sisters. Yaakov Avinu. No one held him as that. What's going on? Chedatz Rabbah was saying, Arba. He says, Chazal, the approach from Chazal that Bilhah and Zilpah were also daughters of Laban, in which case that means he married not two, but four. What do you make of it? And Amram Nasa Zildaso. Amram marries Yocheved. Yocheved was Amram's father's sister. Amram was a grandson of Levi. He was a son of Kahas. Yocheved was a daughter of Levi. married him. That too is outright gilai raya daraisa. What does that mean? And the Moshe Rabbeinu hate him. Shteim esrei matzeva. What does any of this mean? Hey, Cheshos, you know, Gim Heter B'Torah Masha Aser Avram Aviyim Al Atzmo. And how could it be? And think carefully what he's saying in the upcoming sentence. And how could it be that they were willing to be matir to items treated mutter behaviors that their forefather Aram had forbidden for himself? And not only that, Kavala Hashem Scharada, Bakarish Baruch, and the Pasuk told us. It's not just that, it's Avram's personal halacha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, and that's why you're getting Eretz Yisrael. And that's how you become a great nation. This is obviously the right move. What's Rabban trying to say in the language of Shred? What possible terrors is he closing on?
That the Chazal that always kept the
Torah
only Avram.
Oh, Avram. The Mishnah Kedusha says Avram. The Pasuk here told us is talking about Avram. And in fact, one of the answers to this question, we're going to see the Ramban's going to be presenting several different answers. But after Ramban, the question of, on the one hand, the Avram kept called Torah Kula, on the other hand, all these examples, as Ramban is asking, all those examples where they did not keep called Torah Kula. Most famously, Yaakov marries the two sisters. So there are other answers later. You mentioned the Maral. Maral talks about mitzvah say versus lo say. Chaim Mivoloshin has his own explanation. They're able to make Kabbalistic exceptions. The Ramah in a tshuva. Ramah, it's actually a tshuva about intellectual property, about copyright, handling copyright issues between Jewish and non-Jewish printers of Torahs, of Sifrei Kodesh. So in that conversation, if I remember correctly, Daniel Bomberg, who is not Jewish, had printed, I remember his printing of the Talmud Bavli, his printing of Mishnah Torah, and then there was a Jew who wanted soon afterwards to print that Sefer. So Ramah had a debate about how intellectual property law, how halachic intellectual property law should apply between Jews and non-Jews. In the course of that tshuva, it's either Simon Hay or Simon Yud in Tshuva's Ramah. So in the course of that tshuva, he gets into sort of more broad conversations about halachic, halacha for Jews and halacha for non-Jews. And he makes passing reference to the question of Avos Kodesh Matan Torah, and very casually, nonchalantly says, oh, of course it was only Avram Avinu. The Mishnah says Avram, but of course it wasn't anyone later, because after all, Yaakov married two sisters. Totally nonchalantly. It's remarkably nonchalant because Ramah, I believe, had the Ramban al Torah. So he just sort of ignores
the fact that Ramban had a whole different approach. It sort of takes the Torah approach of only Avram. Now the Ramban, several centuries earlier, appears to be bavarning the Ramah. Ramban in the late 1200s, early 1300s, is barvarning the Ramah, the 1500s, he said, and don't tell me, well, Chazal, the Mishnah only says Avram, because we'll think about context. It's not always hard to imagine. Avram did this, and then all the later generations, Yaakov and Avram, they all ignored it. Maybe. Okay. Maybe Avram had his own personal chumras. And he said, look at context. Not just Avram had this chumras. Kadosh Baruch says, Yitzhak, and that's why I'm giving you Eretz Yisrael. So you could argue there's only Avram, but on the other hand, given context, Ramban doesn't find it very, very satisfying. Doesn't find it to be a particularly reasonable chiluk. That is one answer. Maybe specifically Avram and not anyone else. But again, also, that answer will solve our psukim and the comment of the Mishnah and Kiddushin on our psukim. But how about Yosef learn Egel Arufa? Let's just say, well, they didn't keep all the halachas, but they had learned it. They kept learning Torah. Maybe. That's one solution. Avram as opposed to everyone else, which Ramah in several centuries in the future will erase, but the Ramban rejects. If you wait very patiently.
What about the Pasuk, Manu Shaitan,
and Manu Shaitan? Yeah, the Pasuk in Vayera, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I love our Ravinus, Mitzav, Abanus, Bez, Rabu, Echaz. There the language is looser. They go B'Darach Hashem. It's certainly the case Avram Avinu, and the Ramban is going to come back to this at one point. Avram Avinu was definitely, what we know, was teaching the world about monotheism. That's a very common theme in Chazal, and that's alluded to in multiple psukim. Hanefesh she'asa b'charan, and that pasuk that you mentioned. What's the language of the pasuk? Lasu sako mishpat. So that's much more open-ended. That doesn't sound like necessarily keeping Torah and mitzvahs. It sounds like he's teaching about Kadosh Baruch Hu, about Emuna, and they're acting with midos and they're acting with chesed. So, okay, that doesn't fly. Clearly, the office were very religious people. Clearly, the office were very connected with Kadosh Baruch Hu. But the mission in Kiddushin makes the argument. It wasn't as they were connected to Kadosh Baruch Hu. They kept halacha the way we keep halacha, even though they were living centuries before Mamon Har Sinai and Matan Torah. So that's the question. Were they keeping all the dikduke halacha? So here again, coming back here we're on the second page, page Kufnun. On the third line, and we're going to see, actually, I take it back, the Ramban will presently reference your comments, Zev. Hey, Achashish, you know, going to have to betar Masha Asar Avram Avin. And the Ramban says, it's hard to imagine that Avram had forbidden himself to violate the halacha, and they were no way to get to, they would practice as though it's mutter. No way to get to means it was actually mutter. The halacha definitely was not binding until Mamon Har Sinai. But he had this practice, and Kavod Hashem Schar Al Dav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us here the enormous, the magnificent schar for Avram's Hanaga. I take it back. Ramban does seem to be marshaling Zev, your pasuk. He says, look, if Avram transmits it, but not, I think what he's saying is not just that pasuk in a vacuum, I would say, just means Emunah and Chesed and so forth. But I think he's putting the two together. If we see from here that Avram did have all the Tariq mitzvahs, so then, in light of that, we should read the pasuk in Vayera saying he's passing on to his children whatever he was doing himself. So to say there's a chiluk between Avram and later generations, that's difficult. And Ramban continues to attack what will ultimately be the position of the Ramah. The other comments in Chazal that do reference later figures keeping Allah. Yaakov returns to Eretz Yisrael. He comes to Shechem. What does that mean? So he encamps facing the city of Shechem. So Chazal have a couple of different comments trying to figure out what the significance of that is. One of which is that he got there right before Shabbos. He starts figuring out Tchum Shabbos. So then the Ramban says, well, maybe I give another chiluk. Esher Shiyah is at the Shabbos. Maybe they only kept Shabbos. Shabbos is particularly significant. Chazal, it's one of the... There are several different mitzvahs which Chazal refer to as being Shalchel Kenayit Kol Torah Kula. Which, of course, as you can think about things in a very narrow mathematical sense, that becomes a paradox. How could it be that Torah is as weighty as all the other 612 mitzvahs, and Shabbos is as weighty as all the 612 mitzvahs? Obviously, it doesn't. It's not meant in a mathematical sense. Rav Volba actually has a... You mentioned Rav Volba the other day, in terms of his Rio Binyan Bechinuch and his big svar, Ma'al Eshur, a number of other quintrasim from Rav Volba that are less well-known, one of which is the Mitzvos Hashkulos. That's the title. In which he says, apparently, this is a sugi that fascinated him, he writes, for decades. What's the significance of the fact that I think he identifies 6 or 7 different mitzvahs, which in different places Chazal say, this is Shakul Kenayit Kol Torah Kula. Said he, this was on his mind for years. Like, what's special about these mitzvahs? And what's special about each of these mitzvahs? That this, in what way is this Shakul Kenayit Kol Torah? What way is that Shakul Kenayit Kol Torah Kula? So after many years, they put out a pamphlet called HaMitzvos HaShakulos. So here the Ramban says, Shabbos is Shkula Kenayit Kol Torah Kula. In what sense? Shehi me'id al ma'aseh b'reishis, because it reinforces our emunah. In other words, Shabbos is a driver of halacha in general, because Shabbos will reinforce your belief that Kadosh Baruch Hu created and runs the world, and your entire halachic observance rests on your emunah. So Rabban said, look, I would understand if the others didn't keep everything; they just kept Shabbos.
Maybe. And then, but what are you going to do with the pasuk? The pasuk earlier. So then he sort of goes through a. And it gives another interpretation. He says, no, but there's another way of looking at it. Maybe when the pasuk says that Avram kept X, Y, Z, A, B, C, maybe there's a different way of interpreting the pasuk, unlike Rashi. Ulai nomar, the sixth line, Mishmarti, Xeros, Shnios, Arayah, Shal, Bnei Noach. Well, maybe we talk about Shnios, I mean, within the Xero within Bnei Noach. He's keeping this Bnei Noach, and Avraham Avinu added his own siyagim, maybe. Mitzvosai is gezel shvichas damim. Chukosai is eivim enachai. Kilai and shavas bein arkavas ilan. In other words, Rabban is saying, maybe I could take Rashi and sort of modify him a little bit and figure out how all the five categories are really categories within Mitzvah bein arkavas. Mishmarti, or maybe Avraham developed his own gezeris Rabbanim within Gilarois of bein arkavas. Mitzvosai, chukosai, the mishpatim, the chukim, gezel, shvichas, dam, rab, bnei noach, and that, those are mitzvos, those are mishpatim. Eber, menachai, is a hope, perhaps. And there are opinions in Masechah Sanhedrin, that there are certain aspects of Isurei Kilayim, which apply to bnei noach as well, so those also fit into chukim. And Torosai, maybe is reference to dinim, and Isurei Avodah Zarah. So then he says, you say like that, so maybe instead of saying as Rashi did that this is based on the Mishnah tradition, in reference to all Targum Mitzvahs, it's really just Shabbat Menach. Vehu Hashom Nevo Osei Ritzon Varo. Your father Avram kept my Ratzon, kept Shabbat Menach. Why is it referred to as Ritzon Varo? In the Shabbat Menach, the Dukin Vechurus Mitzvah Shalem. He took the Shabbat Menach and took them to the next level. The Moshe is Kiru, Avodah Zarah, Shal Avraham Avinu, Arba Mea Pirkei Avos. The comment you may have heard in the past, has been about the Gemara, Avodah Zarah, Daf Yud Aleph. The Gemara says that Avraham Avinu, our Masechus of Avodah Zarah has 5 prakim, his Masechus of Avodah Zarah had 400 prakim.
Wow. That's a rather long Masechta, being that we have no Masechta longer than 30 prakim, and all of Shas is only 523 or 525 prakim. Avram's Avodah Zarah was 400 prakim. That's tremendous. What does it even mean? So it's usually assumed that means that he had a tremendous amount of Torah. He had developed a lot of ideas in terms of responding to the hashkafa and the philosophy of Avodah Zarah. Now he engaged in debate to explain monotheism. Rabban is saying maybe it also means that he, it's what Chazal's way of saying, that he was machmir even in terms of the practice, in terms of keeping the Shabbat Benoch and specifically Avodah Zarah. He had his own Masechta with 400 prakim. He had a lot of his own chumras. Maybe. And then he says, this is his intermediate shot, and then we'll stop for questions. We have another Maimer Chazal. What's the problem with Darshu and Meir Sha'arim? Yitzchak Avinu, he grew 100-fold we had grown in the past. Why is he measuring? Shemidadua lemasros. Chazal comment they gave Meiser. So where has that fit in? Rabban says, well, maybe Hayu Avos and Divi Amim. They were very generous. They gave Meiser to the Aniim or to the Kohen Hashem. They were given to Shem Ve'Eva. Vuhu Kohen Lekel Yon. So Rabban says, again, where are we so far? And then let's recap, we'll stop for questions, and we'll see the last segments. Now Rabban is open with Rashi. Rashi says that this pasuk, based on, again, surprisingly, Rabban has not directly referenced Kiddushin Pebez and Yom HaChavches, but Rashi is clearly built on that. Avram Shamar Kol Tarakula Adshonit, no? And that's the meaning of this pasuk, Perichavav Pasuk Hayin Toldos, that he kept Mishmarti, Mitzvosai, Chukosai, Torosai. That the others called him on Torah, kept Kol Torah Kula Mamish. That's the position of Rashi. And Rambam says, on the one hand, yes, the army Rashi indicate that. The precious Rabba by Yosef. On the other hand, what do you do with that? And you have Yitzchak with Meiser, and you have Yaakov with Tchum Shabbos. So on the one hand, it looks like, yeah, there's an approach in Chazal that others keep called Tarakula, and many sources in Chazal. On the other hand, but But you have all the other psukim in Chumash that say that they flagrantly violated halacha. Yaakov marries two sisters. Yaakov builds a matzeva. Moshe builds a matzeva. Amram marries his aunt. What's going on? Mama Shastira. So up until now, the Ramban said, well, maybe it's maybe we can sort of give like patchwork answers. Well, maybe the pasuk doesn't really mean they kept Tarek Mitzvah. The pasuk means they kept Shemitz Bnei Noach Lama Hadron. And maybe Shabbos, but maybe Shabbos was an exception. They kept Shabbos. That was an exception. Shkul Kenei Kol Tarkula. Meiser, well, they sort of kept Meiser. They gave tzedakah. They took care of the Aniyim. They took care of the Kohanim in the sense of Shein V'Iver. Maybe. So up until now, Rabban sort of presented Rashi, which says absolutely they kept Kol Tarkula. And then he's sort of, for now, sort of stuck in the middle saying, well, maybe not, but maybe yes. Maybe they kept a little bit of halacha. He's about to launch into the two approaches that he really appreciates. But first, questions. Yeah. Alicia and Zev?
How is none of this, either Abram's 400 Perek Mudazara or the adding on to 716, how is none of that Baltosif?
How is none of it Baltosif? Interesting. You're saying Mimanashach. If they're keeping Kal Tarakula, they should be careful about Baltosif also, ironically. That's a good question. So number one, as we explored, you know, it could be the Xeros, let's say as Rambam says, that Xero that's clearly formulated as Xero, not the Ikar Din, is not Baltosif. Moreover, remember that when the Ramban is saying this, keeping track of the Shakavatari here, Ramban is saying this in order to defend sort of like a middle position. They didn't really keep Kol Tarkula, they kept some things. So then Baltosif doesn't have to be on the list. Remember, they're volunteering. So they didn't volunteer for Baal Tosef, perhaps. Zev?
What's the Ramban's opinion about whether Abraham was a Jew or not? I mean, even the others, because if Yaakov was considered a non-Jew, so then
so I don't know what considered a non-Jew means, but by which I mean the following. In the discussion of Naftali, Trop, and others, Hashem Yisrael, Kedushas Yisrael, and that's sort of what the Ramban's already discussing here. I mean, they clearly are Jewish in the sense that they are the progenitors of Am Yisrael. And as this very pasuk says, Kalal Yisrael's status as Am Hashem and Kalal Yisrael's status as a nation that is permanently tied to Eretz Yisrael, those are rooted in Avram Avinu's and maybe in general the Avos, the connection of the Avos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I mean, it's clear throughout Chumash Bereishis. The story of Am Yisrael begins here. At the same time that they are, and that's what Rabbi Naftali probably means, he says, of course, there's a Shem Yisrael. They are Jewish in a very elemental sense, in a very integral sense. And at the same time, they definitely were not obligated to keep Tarek Mitzvahs. That's also clear. The obligation of Tarek Mitzvahs begins over the course of the 40 years in the Midbar, beginning with Har Sinai and ending with Arvos Moav, the Bris Sinai and the Bris of Arvos Moav. They were definitely not obligated to keep halacha, that's for sure. So the question is, well, what did they opt to do? What did they volunteer to do? So within the context of them volunteering to keep halacha, we could declare, did they keep halacha as Jews or as non-Jews? Sort of a funny type of question. But that's all within the context of they're volunteering to keep halacha. They're volunteering to keep. I mean, Al-Pi Pasha's Nachri Sheshavas Chayiv Misa probably also only started after Shabbos was given to the Jewish people. Right? So it's all a question of once, if you assume they're keeping to the extent that they were volunteering to keep halacha, to what extent did they keep their status as Jews, because are they volunteering to keep halacha, or do they volunteer to keep halacha the way non-Jew would keep halacha? So, but that's a more narrow, that's sort of an offshoot of this core conversation, which is, did they keep halacha? On the one hand, you have multiple comments in Chazal, in the Bavli and in Bereishis Rabbah, that they were keeping halacha. On the other hand, you have so many psukim and chumash to indicate plainly that they did not keep halacha. So the Ramban is going to, as I mentioned already, that there are several tirutzim to this kasha. Rama says maybe he's only Avram, but Ramban points out it's a very difficult, it's a very difficult solution. The Maharal, who I mentioned it, the Natan I mentioned, that the Maharal says it's only, Maharal later in his, Maharal wrote a super commentary, a perish on a perish. Rashi has a perish al Torah, and one of the many, many perushim on perish Rashi is the, one of the most famous ones is Maharal's Gur Aryeh. Gur Aryeh says perish on perish Rashi al Torah. In Parshas Vayigash, I believe, and Vashal, the Pasuk of Shal ben Akranas, so he gets into a conversation about, among other things, Avos Kodim on Torah, and he says they only kept mitzvahs, not of, they didn't volunteer to avoid Averis. It's a very fascinating logical point. Because it says they weren't, everyone agreed they weren't mechuyim to keep halacha, but they were volunteering. These were among the greatest tzaddikim of all time, so they want to volunteer to keep halacha. The Maharal says, you can volunteer to do a mitzvah. I'm not mechuyim, a woman is not mechuyeves to hear shofar Rosh Hashanah, strictly speaking. It's an old minhag, over 1,000 years old, the women do seek to hear shofar. But strictly speaking, not obligated, not minatar, not mirabban, to hear shofar Rosh Hashanah. But if a woman opts to hear shofar, or let's say there isn't even any ancient minhag about lulav, plenty of women opt to shake lulav on sukkahs, to eat in the sukkah. So, she's not mechuyeves. She doesn't shake lulav. She didn't do anything wrong. She didn't have a ton of obligation that she dropped. But if she chooses, she opts to shake lulav, so she got a kiyum mitzvah. Nothing wrong, she doesn't do it. But if she doesn't, she fulfills something. She accomplished something. Maharal says, I'm waiting to volunteer a lot. What does it mean to volunteer a lot? Let's say a koheness, or a male Yisrael, or a male lady, will volunteer, I'm going to avoid Tumas Meis, like a Kohen. I'm not a Kohen, I'm a lady Yisrael, I'm a Ger, or I'm a Kohenes, I'm a Bas Kohen, I'm a Ishus Kohen, so there's no reason for me to be a Tamil Mason, but I'm going to volunteer not to be a Tamil Mason. So Maharal says, what does that mean? You haven't done anything. If you were to be a Tamil Mason, there'd be nothing wrong, because you're not bound by that answer. And there's no key, I mean, you haven't accomplished anything, you just haven't been Tamil Mason. So the Maharal thinks that that's the answer. That you can volunteer mitzvahs, you can volunteer kiyumim, but you can't volunteer yisurim, because there's no kiyum. Now, there might be those who would disagree with that. Maybe even thinking of a Ramban in Parshas Kedoshim, who perhaps disagrees with that and talks about volunteering a higher level of tahara. Very good, very good. Maybe Ramban Lashitaso didn't give Maharal's teretz over here either. Perhaps. Maharal thinks that they volunteered mitzvahs, didn't volunteer theirs. So Maharal says, look at all the cases. All the things that they are described as doing, or almost all of them, matzah and Pesach, and so on and so forth. Maybe not. On the other hand, the Rashi talks about chazir and shanis. So that's a little bit of a tricky problem. But at least he points out all the cases where they're described as violating halacha, those are all isurim. So yeah, Yaakov married the two sisters. That was a lav. What's the point of volunteering not to keep a lav? And Amram marries his aunt, and so on and so forth. So that's Maharal's answer. Mitzvahs versus isurim. Again, you have to negotiate the Rashi over here. Rama, we said, says Avram versus others. And let's take a look at another question.
Which don't apply to you being a Yisrael being Tamil Mase, it kind of doesn't make, like, you can say I'm not going to become Tamil Mase. If they're trying to keep the Torah the way it would be kept in the future, then it would be us or them. So it's not like they're saying, it's different than saying Yisrael being not being Tamil Mase, it's Arayos. Everyone has an Isra of Arayos. So saying there's no reason, because right now that's like saying there's no reason for us saying logic. There's no Isra now, so don't do this. There's no mitzvah now, so why are you doing the mitzvah? You're going to say it doesn't.
So, somewhat parallel, but not identical. We still give chinuch to the mitzvahs. So, there is a big debate, probably already machlokas are shown in several different contexts in the Hadidah and Yimur and elsewhere, whether the idea of chinuch to the mitzvahs is a midrabanan. Midrabanan. I'm supposed to see to it that my under bar mitzvah boys, my under bas mitzvah girls already keep halacha,
So this seems like there's a debate amongst Rishonim. What does that mean? Does that just mean practically practice? You're practicing for the future, the Hargalah. You're getting in the zone, you're getting in the groove. Or does it mean in a more pinpointed way that the boys and girls before Bar Bas Mitzvah are, so to speak, obligated to volunteer to keep like the general says, I need three volunteers, you and you. So we volunteer the kids that Mikra did, man, told them not to keep anything. And Midrabban, we say you have to volunteer to keep mitzvahs. In which case it's actually, we're actually looking for kiyumim. The kids are actually doing meaningful things. So there is a position that the Tosfos Yeshayahu quotes. I believe it's Rabbi Lezer admits, we already met Elzma. So Rabbi Lezer admits says only mitzvah is not isur. He says chinuch is only a mitzvah, chinuch is not an isur. It's a deal with a difficult gemara in Yavamas. Tapuk Yidal, that sounds like the you can allow a kid under bar mitzvah to eat shayfa food. In quotes that have time, that's what gemara sounds like. Katan ochel days in days mitzvah lafrishah. The rishonim say what happened to the chinuch? What happened to chinuch? The mishnah yuma, mishnah sukkah. Sukkah's all over the place. So the Uranus answer is, the chinuch is only on mitzvahs, not any sukkah. So Rav Schechter suggested this maral is the explanation for that, the underlying logic of that Uranus, is that we're volunteering to do meaningful things, to have kiyumim. So it's only mitzvahs, not any sukkah. We don't accept the Uranus halacha, to be absolutely clear. It's a sim of the sim of Reish Mem Gimel or so, Reish Mem Dal, the very end of Hilchas Shabbos. The very end of Chayil Gimel of Mishneh Berurah is a simon there. No, I'm sorry, Shin Mem Gimel, Shin Mem Dal, somewhere around there. So towards the end of Chayil Gimel of Mishneh Berurah, there's a simon about Chinuch Tam Mitzvahs. That opinion, the Rebbe doesn't even make it to Beit Shofar. There are other answers I've given that are accepted, but the Yoreni was a particular application of this notion. You need real kiyum. You need real kiyum, and maybe stop the mitzvahs. Again, maybe there are others who think that you can have a real kiyum. It is meaningful to volunteer a lav also. And in the context of chinuch, another one as far as it comes up, if you say it's a more general type of practice, so if it's about practicing, that's going to include everything. The idea is to have the whole system of halacha. So you're saying, not exactly chinuch, but in a certain sense, maybe it wasn't so pinpointed and targeted as much as the others were already stepping into what it would be like to be a Jew in the future. Maybe. So be that as it may, we have this problem. We have on the one hand, on the other hand, maracha mul maracha. On the one hand, you have all these comments of Chazal. And again, the Pasukim told us sounds like it's talking about halacha. Mitzvosai, mishmarti, chukosai, torosai. What do all the terms mean? And the quality of the term sounds very halachic. On the other hand, you have Yaakov with the two or four sisters, and Yaakov with his Matzeva, and Amram and Yocheved, and so on and so forth. And again, we said the Ramah said maybe the Chiluk is Avram versus later generations. And Maral says maybe it's mitzvahs versus others. And each one of those solutions has problems, has weaknesses. The Rabban at first was trying to sort of find some middle ground. Well, maybe they sort of, it was Shemitz Beinoach Lamahadrin, and maybe also Shabbos, and maybe also Meisr, sort of like a patchwork approach. And now, let me take more questions afterwards, that's okay. And now he says, Vanire Eli Midir Bidas Rabosain. He says, you know what I really think? First, he tried to give his patchwork. You know, I could solve this, but I could plug this hole, I could plug that hole. Shabbos is an exception, Mice is an exception. He says, well, here's what I really think. Here's what I really think specifically. What I really think, number one, Midas Raboseinu. What I really think is what the Midrash HaChazal is driving at is the following. So this would be the first of the two approaches that he really embraces. Shalom bar Avraham Avinu, we are in the middle of page Kuf Nun. Shalom bar Avraham Avinu, Torah, Kuli, Ruach HaKodesh. Number one, Avraham was aware of the content, the intellectual content of Torah. He knew it. How did he know it? Before Matan Torah, before Mamar HaSinai. So you got to be the boy, you got to be Ruach HaKodesh. The Osak Ba, Uvetame Mitzvosel, Vitzodosel. He learned Halacha, he learned Machshava, and he learned Kabbalah. That's what he just said. He was Osak in the Mitzvos, he was Osak in the Tamei Mitzvos, that's Machshava, and he was Osak in the Sodos of Mitzvos, that's Kabbalah. So number one, Avram knew it. And that explains, we said later on, Yosef and Yaakov had been learning the Parsha of Egla Rufa. And then how about keeping it? How about practice? V'shamar osa kula k'misha ena matzul Yosef. And he kept everything. He says, Avram Avinu kept everything. However, and he now explicitly mentions the concept that we already mentioned of ena matzul v'yosef. He wasn't obligated. He was opting. He was volunteering, like a woman volunteering to shake wools and sit in sukkah and hear shofar. Avraham Avinu was volunteering to keep the Torah with him. However, there is a chiluk. There is a limitation. Not the limitation for Amah that was only Avraham, not later generations. Nor the limitation of Maharal that it was mitzvah as opposed to Adair. But the Ramban said, you know what the dividing line is? And what's going to distinguish what Avraham did keep from what Yaakov and Amram did not keep? He says it's not a question of mitzvah versus adeira, it's not a question of who, it's a question of where. Shmiraso osa haya ba'aretz bilvad, only in Eretz Yisrael. He says Amram volunteered to keep out Tarkula specifically in Eretz Yisrael. And he says he's first going to address the what, and then he explains, come back to explain the why. He says Yaakov b'chutzar bilvad nasa shteya chayos. The Chayin Amram. You think about these various cases where they're violating halacha. Most, if not all of them, are specifically outside of Eretz Yisrael. Outside of Eretz Yisrael. Yaakov marries the sisters in Haran. Amram marries Yocheved in Mitzrayim. Okay, so we begin to see that the answer works. But after giving a chiluk, Ramban, Compton Lamden, as a consummate Lamden that we look up to, as a Lamden par excellence, Rabban says, I'm not going to give you a chiluk without a hesber. Like, oh, it happened to be with Eretz Yisrael, and therefore what? Mayin shmita etzar sinai. Why does this make sense that it ought to depend on this chiluk? He says, oh, I'll tell you to the hesber. Ki ha-mitzos mishpat ha-aretzein.
Mishpat ha-okei ha-aretzein. The mitzvahs are the rules of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is often described as Elokei Ha'aretz, the God of Eretz Yisrael. I mean, the God of Eretz Yisrael. The Rav Shabbat, footnote 20, sends you to the source for that. Malachim Deis Perikud Zayin, that actually is. That's where the Psukim describe. It's one of the few places where you have Nevi'im Achronim type language in Nevi'im Rishonim. Nevi'im Rishonim are usually stories. Yeshua, Shoftim, Shmuel, Malachim, telling the story of the Jewish people from when they enter Eretz Yisrael until the Churban Abayis. Churban Abayis Rishon. Nevi'im Achronim, Yishai, Yirmi, Yechezkel, Treyasar, are predominantly not storytelling, not narrative, but drushes. The speeches that they gave, the Sichas Musar that they gave. It's a discussion, direct discussion of Hashkafa and Musar as opposed to storytelling. Every once in a while, you'll have bursts of storytelling of narrative in Nevi'im Achronim, most famously Yonah, right? And you have four prakim in Yeshayahu, Lamed Vav to Lamed Tes, that tell the story of the stories of Chizkiyahu and Yeshayahu's various interactions with Chizkiyahu. There are other smaller pockets in Yeshayahu as well. We, earlier in the year, on Tom Gedalia, we had the chance to explore several prakim in Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu is chunks of narrative. We explore the story of Gedalia. But Nevi'im Achron are mostly drashas. Nevi'im Rishon is mostly narrative. One of the very few cases, you have a little bit in Shoftim and in Melachim, where sort of you turn a corner, all of a sudden we have like a drasha. So one of them is here. It says right before the stories of Chizkiyahu, when the Psukim are telling the stories of the destruction of Malchus Yisrael, of the northern kingdom, by Ashur, and the Gals of the Saras Ashvatim. So the Psukim take a break from narrative and give direct Hashkafa. And they say, this is what happens. Jewish people forget about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In Eretz Yisrael, of all places, you're awash in Avodah Zarah that's not going to last forever. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Elokei Ha'aretz. That's what the Rabbah is quoting here. So what does that mean? A Jew is mechuyav to keep mitzvah all over the world. Af al pi, four lines from the bottom.
Non-agricultural mitzvahs,
as the Mishnah tells us at the end of the first paragraph of Kiddushin. Non-agricultural mitzvahs are applicable and obligatory all over the world, but they're most meaningful and most profound in Eretz Yisrael. Trumas and Maaseros, Shemitah and Yovel don't apply at all in America. Tzitzis and Tefillin and Tzedakah and Kashrus and Taras and Mishpacha, they apply all over the world. We're obligated to keep those deen all over the world, but you're not going to access the full meaningfulness of the mitzvahs except in Eretz Yisrael. And he said, Taramzu, Rabbi Ben Zayn, so does that. Chazal already referred to this concept. And Ani Ya'ir Chabo Be'ez Hashem. I'll point this out. We'll have a longer conversation, Rabban says, some other time. When he gets in the middle of Chumash Vayikra, he has a very, I believe the end of Afrimos, he has a much longer conversation. But he says, well, we'll get to this. Keep your eyes open for coming attractions. He says, you have to understand that the main place of Kiyum HaMitzvahs, all mitzvahs, is Eretz Yisrael. Mitzvahs are obligatory all over the world, but they're most meaningful in Eretz Yisrael. Okay? So he says, so you and I, we live l'achar matan Torah. So we're obligated to keep halacha, whether we like it or not. It's a chiyuv. So whether you're in Eretz Yisrael, we keep mitzvahs, we must. The Avos didn't have to keep mitzvahs. They weren't keeping mitzvahs because they must, not because they had to. They were volunteering. So Rabban says it stands to reason, it's reasonable for them to have chosen to volunteer mitzvahs only in Eretz Yisrael, they gain the full punch. But to do a mitzvah in Chutz La'aretz, where it's not as significant, maybe they didn't volunteer that. He says that's the real answer. Yes, Shomer Avram called Torah Kula Shonitna, but only in Eretz Yisrael. And that explains Yaakov and the two or four sisters. That explains Amram and his aunt. And he says, and then he wraps up some details. I mentioned the Matseva before. Yaakov has the Matseva. How do you understand that? I said, that's not a kasha at all. That was an Eretz Yisrael. But a Matseva, mitzvah is chadsha b'zman yadua. Kamosha dorsh b'ashem samanei Hashem v'lokecha. It says, the Chazal make the point that the Chumash says, don't be makriv karbanos on a Matseva, on a single stone steel, only on a multi-stone mizbeach, a multi-stone altar. Asher samanei Hashem v'lokecha, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu presently hates. So Chazal comment, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu presently hates, and that it was Ahuv b'nei ha'avos and Snua b'nei Moshe Rabbeinu. Over the course of the centuries, from the days of the Avos who were using Matzelos, to the days of Matan Torah, had been picked up by the Kananim as a central defining aspect of their pagan rites and their pagan practice. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu forbade it. Okay, so we understand that they were opting to do that which was meaningful. So it would have been meaningless to avoid a matzeva before it applied. And how about Yosef? Yosef Darshi is the Mishamar HaShabbos HaFil in Mitzrayim. He was keeping Shabbos in Chutz La'aretz. That's, yeah, the Pnei Sheishkulu Dei Nekal Mitzvahs. It's Eidus Al Chidush HaOlam. As we referred back to what we said before, Shabbos is more than just a mitzvah. Shabbos reinforces our emunah. But HaYosef came, and interesting, they were only volunteering in mitzvahs in Eretz Yisrael. He said, "Ayosa came l'lamed es banav and munas b'riyas ha'olam lahotzi milibam kavanas abodazar v'das mitzvah." He says he thinks that was a strategic decision by Yosef. It was a chinuch tactic. He says Yosef keeping Shabbos in Mitzrayim wasn't part of Avram Shamar's kultura achronitva, kultura kulon achronitva. This wasn't that he felt obligated. No. They only kept mitzvahs in Eretz Yisrael. But Yosef, he got to Mitzrayim, and specifically once he had children, he realized that how am I going to successfully raise from kids in the smack dab in the capital, the international capital of depravity and paganism? How am I going to raise God-oriented children in the midst of Mitzrayim? And Yosef was living in the heart of the culture. Yosef was in the middle of everything. His children were growing up in the lap of luxury. His children were growing up as part of the upper echelons of Egyptian society. And Yosef says to himself, how am I going to raise from children? So I need every...
in Mitzvah, you'll be Zoche yourselves to be parents in the future. And parenting children in any age, in any society, in any context, requires a lot of careful thought. It requires a lot of thoughtful strategy. You need to figure out how and why and what to do. And it takes a lot of chachma and it takes a lot of amelos. Yosef raising Menashe and Ephraim and Mitzrayim was to the nth degree. So Ramban says, leave Yosef and Shabbos off the table. Yosef keeping Shabbos and Mitzrayim wasn't part of this general sugya of Avos Kodesh Matan Torah. That was a specific strategic move. Those were chinuch tactics that he used. And he said, we're going to keep Shabbos in my home so that my kids grow up from. But that wasn't the general Kiyum Kol Tarkul Ashan. No, that's sort of like a separate, a second din. That's a separate din. Okay. So that's what Ramban said. But he knows that Ran is not done. Why isn't he done? He already said, the Hanir Eli, Midas Raboseinu. And he wraps up here, Vizos Kavanasam. This is what they meant. They meaning Chazal. All these Midrashim. The Mishnah and Yuma quoted, Mishnah and Kiddushin quoted in Yuma. And all the comments of the Bereishis Rabba earlier, except for Yosef, it all falls into this. Yaakov kept Chumen in Eretz Yisrael. Avram kept all the dinim, Aseh los Aseh in Eretz Yisrael. Outside Eretz Yisrael, they did not. He says, that's what they have. Yes, Avram kiyum kol tarkula in Eretz Yisrael. And he says that this reflects a very deep spiritual reality that mitzvahs are obligatory. Nowadays, mitzvahs are obligatory over the world, but they're far more meaningful. They're far more meaningful in Eretz Yisrael. You're not tapping into the full richness of the mitzvah when you keep it in Chutz Lars. You're mechuyev to keep it in Chutz Lars. You get a part of the richness, but you don't get the full richness if you're outside of Eretz Yisrael. So shouldn't he be done? What are the very next words? The very next words? Al derech hapshat. Rabban is saying that
there's Pshutos HaMikra and then there's Medrash. Medrash is the additional level of interpretation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah and told the Moshe Rabbeinu up front, I'm telling you in advance, I'm giving you the, I wrote, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called Yachol Yisrael Nefret, says I wrote a text and it has multiple layers of meaning embedded within it. So we need to figure out Shul Shabbat, and we need to figure out the Drash. So that's why he said before, when he was introducing this whole Eretz Yisrael approach, V'anira Eli Midas Raboseinu. This is what Chazal are driving at. The Midrashim is this idea that they were keeping Mamish, keeping Kol Tarkula, but only in Eretz Yisrael. But Al Derech HaPshat, the Ramban embraces what I believe is the Rei of the Radak. Al Pipshuto Shal Mikra, they were not keeping Kol Tarkula in literal sense, even in Eretz Yisrael. Right, and again, Yaakov marries his sisters and Amram marries his aunt and so forth. I so then, in his Bechal, true Shalmikra, there's no reference to Torah and mitzvahs until Chumash Mos. Except here and there, you hear about the Shabbos, you hear about Gidon Asher and so forth. But then how do you deal with this pasuk? How do you deal with the pasuk in the sense that I have five different terms? Koli, Mishmarti, Chukosai, Mitzvosai, Torosai. What do all these mean? So here at the end, the last couple of lines, we'll just be closed. Adair Chapshat, Tomar Shei Mishmarti, Api Pshuto, he says, Mishmarti means, will not Zeyrus and Siyamim. It means belief in HaKadosh Baruch. And Munus HaElokos, Sheamin V'Shem HaMiyucha. He believed in HaKadosh Baruch, whose name is Yitzhak. V'shomar mishmeres zu b'libal v'cholak al avodei avodah zarah v'kor b'shem Hashem l'asher v'apen l'avodasa. Number one, and they believed in Yad Emunah, and as this refers back to earlier comments of the Ramban, to be korei b'shem Hashem, meaning, according to the Ramban, that he taught about Emunah also. So mishmarti means he fought the good fight. He was omen al mishmeres. He was the not only personally a mammon, but he was a beacon of Emunah. He was a beacon of monotheism for the world. That's number one. And by the way, it's worth, as we read through the final lines, to think about what the Ramban is about to give, the last gift the Ramban will give us in this piece, which is, Al Pipshuto, this isn't a reference to Targum Mitzvahs. So Al Pipshuto, it is a reference instead to what?
to the core aspects of Avram's Avodas Hashem. What are the core aspects of Avodas Hashem that predate Mamad Har Sinai? So the Ramban says, Al-Pi Pshuto, that's what this pasuk is mentioning. So what are these concepts? What are these concepts? Mishmarti, Mitzvosai, Chukosai, V'tarosai. He says, number one is Emuna. Having Emuna personally and being proud to teach it to the world. Number two, Mitzvosai. In other words, all the commandments, literally mitzvos, that I gave, Hashem says, to Avram in particular. So if the first element is emuna, the second element were the personal nisyonos of Avram Avinu. The third is chukim. What does that mean? B'chukosai teilechu. L'leches b'darche Hashem li'oschanan v'racham o'stitztaku v'mishpat u'letzavos es banav es beiso b'hem. It means following the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the sense of Alach Tebedrachav. That was element number three. It was emulating the midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tikkun HaMidos. And you'll notice, if you're reading sensitively, he once again refers to which pasuk from Vayera? Uletzavo says, Banavez Beis Obohem. Earlier he had referenced that pasuk. L'man Asher Yitzava. Now he's coming back there. In other words, Ramban is saying in a half a sentence, that Al-Pi Pshuto, that pasuk also doesn't refer to Tariq Mitzvahs. Al-Pi Pshuto refers to what that pasuk sounds like it's talking about, which is Tzako Mishpat, how you treat people in an elevated way. And finally, Torosai, which really sounds like Torah, he says, yes, there was a chunk of Torah that Avraham Avinu did have in the Torah specific Torah sense of mitzvahs you got from HaKadosh Baruch, Tariq mitzvahs you got from HaKadosh Baruch. Not all of them, but Hamila, Be'atzma, Ubana, Vavadav, Umitzvah Be'Noach Kulon, Shehein Torah Lahen. That was their Torah. That was his Torah. All of humanity have the Shehein Mitzvah Be'Noach, and HaKadosh Baruch had already added for Avram and his descendants the mitzvah of Mila. Mila for oneself, Mila for one's child, Mila for one's avadim. That was mamish given full halachic, with full halachic detail. It could be some of the details didn't apply, the print halacha didn't apply to Mamad Har Sinai, but that was already a piece of Matan Torah, so to speak. So that's what Ramban says. Al derech drash, it means that Avraham Avinu was Mekayim Kol Torah Kula Tariq Mitzvahs. In Eretz Yisrael specifically, where it was most meaningful to volunteer that Al-Pi Pshuto, it means that he was a man of extraordinary pre-Mamad Har Sinai Avodas Hashem. He was a man who was a mamin and was proud to share his emunah. He was a man who handled the nisyonos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him in particular. He was a man who sought to pattern himself after HaKadosh Baruch Hu and develop extraordinary tikkun amidos. And finally, he kept all the mitzvos, all the toros that he had. That he had already been given, both the Shemitz Benoach that they shared with the rest of humanity, as well as Mila, which had been formerly given by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Avram and his family. So these are the various approaches to what extent did the Avos keep Kala Tarakula, Ashon Nitna. Was it like the Ramah, only Avram? Was it like the Maharal, only mitzvos? Was it like we referenced before in the passing of Chaim Volozhin, that they kept it, but because it wasn't obligatory, unlike nowadays, they had the option of saying, I think spiritually we'll accomplish more by marrying Rachel and Leah, Tikkun Rachel, Tikkun Leah. So because it was only voluntary, they had the right to do that. Or, as Ramban says, Al Derech Drash, they kept it, but only Eretz Yisrael. Or Al Derech Pshat, they did not keep Tariq Mitzvahs in the full sense, but what the Pasuk here is saying rather, Al Derech Pshat, is that Avraham Avinu was a profound Eved Hashem in the pre-Sinai sense. Emuna, personal nisyonos, tikkun amidos, and whatever mitzvahs he did have. There's a lot going on. This Ramban, a lot in terms of dealing with the Psukim, a lot in terms of dealing with Midrashim, a lot in terms of appreciating Pshat and Drash, and a lot in terms of the core ideas of Hashkafa and Machshava that flow both in Ramban's Al Derech Drash in terms of appreciating the relationship between spirituality and mitzvahs as a whole in Eretz Yisrael, and in terms of the items that he highlights, Al Derech Pshat. Okay, a lot to think about. As I mentioned before, there are many other Ramban's in the course of the lengthier weekend. definitely one way to invest the time would be to learn Toldos more broadly with the Ramban al-Tar. We head now to the Beis HaMedrash.